The other big aspect of this was we were creating a whole different type of technology here. We took it upon ourselves very early to make sure that not only were we going to build the highest quality AI voice that was available on the market, but also as well as that, we had to think very deeply around our responsibility into how we would ethically usher this into the world as well. A lot of thought and a lot of challenges early on were not just around, hey, how can we get people to utilize this, but also what is the right way that we should be allowing people to utilize this? And what are some of the initial considerations that we need to make to protect people from possible harm? I'm Matt Hocking, co-founder of WellSaid Labs.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
It's 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing on the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what to do next.
It took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
A company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart. And today, how Matt Hocking is turning your text into voiceovers. Best fit for your brand using high-quality AI. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy-managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Matt Hocking started off as a graphic designer in Australia. He moved into lecturing while running a design school, which led him to New York and the startup community. He is a multi-founder, but outside of tech and startups, he's a family man and loves to spend time with his kids, which he calls his startup outside of his startup. He enjoys building and drawing with his son and doing the best he can to support his young daughter in becoming a princess one day. In 2018, Matt met his co-founder when joining AI2. While he was working on deep learning projects, Matt was working on a user-centered, voice-based experience in healthcare. When they put both things together, they figured out they could really help people and save hours of studio time by generating voiceovers with AI. This is the creation story of WellSaid Labs.
WellSaid Labs is the leading AI voice innovation company. Essentially, what we do is we train lifelike synthetic voices or AI voices from the voices of real people. So we work with real voice talent to create data sets. We then use our own proprietary models to train those voices and then make those voices accessible for people to create content and product experience on demand at scale and together. So I joined Paul Allen's Artificial Intelligence Institute, AI2, as an entrepreneur in residence back in 2018 and met my co-founder, Michael. He was working on some amazing deep learning research at the time that was very much state of the art. Coincidentally, with my work outside of AI2, I was working on an interactive healthcare experience, of which that experience was very voice-centric. Various avatars and manual recordings needed to be made in order to guide the user through the user experience. When I saw what Michael was building, it set off a lot of alarm bells for me in terms of this could save a lot of people a lot of time and a lot of time in the recording studio, essentially to be able to create voice in ways that have never been done before.
Let's dive into the MVP then. So that first version of the product you built, how long did it take to build and what sort of tools did you use to bring WellSaid Labs to life?
The way we'd conceptualized and idealized what we wanted this experience to feel like is voice has always gone through an evolution where the technology and the way that people have utilized voice is very much a recording studio and manually people work speaking into a microphone to record audio. So when we got together and we obviously got the technology to a point, an early MVP where it was making not only utterances, but it was actually rendering voice in a way that was comparable to human quality recording. What we wanted to do was wrap that in a very basic and easy to use studio experience so that folks could literally utilize the script that they were looking to create, type that in, audition a virtual voice actor, and make a recording instantaneously. Very early on, obviously, when you're dealing with deep learning, the process and the length of those product cycles is a little bit longer than traditional technology when you're utilizing APIs off the shelf. There's a lot of upfront research work that needs to get done and then a lot of productizing of that research. When we initially put it together, the initial MVP was pretty slow. The renderings that we were able to create at that point in time worked a majority of the time, but there were definitely some anomalies that we experienced through our building process.
So let's stay on the MVP for a minute. I'm curious about decisions and trade-offs you had to make. And you mentioning having to do research to really figure some things out. It ran a bit slow. Kind of prior to getting to the point where you're realizing all of that, what sort of decisions and trade-offs did you have to make in focusing that MVP? And how did you cope with those decisions?
The initial model that we'd created, obviously it had imperfections. And what we inevitably did was built a product experience that worked with those imperfections and allowed users to, for example, render multiple clips at a time to be able to overcome some of the challenges around speed. We also created very basic tooling to allow people to quickly correct audio if something was mispronounced. And that sort of started some of the initial research that we've done since around respellings. The other big aspect of this was we were creating a whole different type of technology here. We took it upon ourselves very early to make sure that not only were we going to build the highest quality AI voice that was available on the market, but also as well as that, we had to think very deeply around our responsibility into how we would ethically usher this into the world as well. So a lot of thought and a lot of challenges early on were not just around, hey, how can we get people to utilize this, but also what is the right way that we should be allowing people to utilize this? And what are some of the initial considerations that we need to make to protect people from possible harm?
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com. This episode is sponsored by Cashfly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cashfly comes in. Cashfly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cashfly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cashfly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 TB CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Okay, you got your MVP. It's working. You're seeing the results you want to see to move forward. How did you progress the product from there and mature it? And I think to wrap in a box a little bit, what I'm looking for is how you built your roadmap and how you went about deciding, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with WellSet.
We obviously were paying a lot of attention to our early customers. From day one, we have stressed that we wanted to build a real product for real people here, not just develop the technology, put it out into the world and see what happened. As we inevitably built our MVP and started putting it in people's hands, it became very clear that there were certain technical limitations that we needed to overcome. And that was prioritized on our roadmap from there. The second portion of it was really listening to our customers and understanding that there were a number of different ICPs that were emerging from our core customer group, from the independent content creator that was looking to quickly add voiceover to some piece of content that they were creating. But again, that pain that they were experiencing was very short and sharp, and they're very budget conscious and just want a quick solution, and definitely didn't have the ongoing slow burning pain that you're typically looking for when you are solving a larger problem. But what we found very quickly is that there were teams of content creators that had been searching for a solution for voice, and what we had provided so far was really resonating with them. As we started to talk to these individuals, it wasn't just them involved in this content creation workflow per se. It was more of a team of folks. Those folks obviously had scripts that they were looking to generate, not only generate, but then update and keep published. They were looking to constantly iterate over time. There was a whole workflow being created there and an evergreen backlog of content which needed to be created consistently at scale. Early on, one of the decisions that we made, or one of the realizations that we came to, is that a customer wasn't asking for 100,000 different voices. Our customer was asking for quality, our customer was asking for consistency, and our customer was asking for collaboration. And from there, we very much prioritized those features on our roadmap.
Tell me about team. Team is critical for a startup, for a team that's building something new. How did you go about building your team? What do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
With regard to team, especially very early on, we were looking for folks that not only were super excited about the project. Again, we're building a company with deep learning at its core. And this was before last year when generative AI had its moment. This was back in 2018, 2019, when we were trying to pull the future closer toward us. We were looking at that point in time, obviously, for passion around what we were building, tangible skills outside of their core skill set that might have had a correlation to audio or voice was really interesting. For example, one of our very early deep learning engineers has a background in linguistics and a family that has studied throughout their lives, which was really interesting and compelling to us, as that she brought a whole bunch of interesting experience as well as her core technical skills. The other side of that as well is just people that were willing to roll up their sleeves and do a lot with a little. When you think about research and you think about deep learning, you're generally thinking about larger teams inside of huge companies with unlimited resources. As a startup coming out of AI2, we'd obviously raised our seed round at that point in time and had a little bit of money to play with, but we didn't have everything at our beck and call. A generic kind of scrappiness and startup mentality, I'd say, and then just a burning passion for the product and what it could do.
Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password?
No, didn't know there was one.
Do you know how to code?
No.
Do you know how to query data?
Like, ask a question? I guess not.
I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye. Don't be left out of the Analytics Club.
ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory.
This episode is sponsored by CashFly.
The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cachefly comes in. Cachefly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cachefly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cachefly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5-terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cachefly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory.
Okay, this will be interesting given what you've built and what needs to be underneath it, but I'm curious about the speed that goes around it, and I'm waffling around the question. I'm just going to ask it. Did you build this to scale efficiently from day one, or with scale in mind is probably the better way to ask that, or has there been interesting areas where you've had to fight it as you've grown?
When Michael was working on the research, we'd had sort of 7 or 8 versions of our core model re-architected, rebuilt, and retrained a number of times before we could even put it in customers' hands. So that kind of answers the question around, did we build to scale from the get-go? No, we were building to just get it to work to start off. As the rubber's met the road and we've met customer needs from there, the improvements that we've made to our core technology is they've been able to solve more and more customer problems. Customers have pulled us in the direction that they needed, as opposed to typically what you'd see in a majority of startups, we're pushing the product out there and constantly educating. Our customers were educating us around what they needed and what they wanted. They wanted this really badly. And as a result, a lot of our roadmap from there was around being pulled into the market at a speed that I haven't seen before. From there, obviously, as we not only look to build this core technology, but look to build an enterprise solution for mid-market and above companies and teams inside of those organizations, then scale, availability, reliability, trust, all of these things need to be considered. And so while we've put a lot of thought into that from day one, it's definitely a focus of ours now as we are looking to scale the business and help tens of thousands of people on a daily basis.
Okay, Matt, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built, what are you most proud of?
As a startup founder, a lot of the time, everyone knows that the journey is pretty hard, starting with an idea, and you can see it as clear as day in your head. But then as you talk to other people and get feedback from other folks, sometimes you doubt yourself and sometimes other people doubt you and all of those types of things. As we stand out on the balcony and overlook where we've come from, I'm just extremely proud of the team that we put together and the fact that when we put this idea together, the vision was crystal clear in terms of what we wanted to do with the core technology and what it would look like. And standing here 5-6 years later, I feel as though we've achieved that initial vision of taking this amazing technology up front, but then putting it in the hands of people to create content on demand at scale. It's just really satisfying to see that we've achieved what we originally set out to do and to a certain extent imagined it and then come to life.
So let's flip the script a little bit, Matt. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
We've been very precious about how we tell our story and how we tell our story outside of the building. We've always operated in a way where we wanted to make sure that if we were making a claim, if we were going to say that we were the best or we were the fastest or we were actually building a product that customers would want, we weren't going to put out research marketing per se, make big promises and then wait for that reality to inevitably happen or scramble for that reality behind closed doors. As I think about it, we could have done a better job capturing the imagination of folks and telling our story outside of the building. If we'd told our story louder, we could have captured a lot more interest around the organizations as opposed to always focusing on the practical aspects of things.
Well, this will be fun to ask. What does the future look like for the product and for your team?
the future is A, exciting. B, when we started this project, we had this vision to essentially look at voice as a storytelling tool and really enable the written word to be heard as well. I feel what we've started on or what we've been an integral part of starting has very much been creating the technology and the tooling that allows folks to be able to convert written word into audio and allow the world's stories to be heard as well as read or viewed. And ideally, voice becomes an essential modality for every story that needs to be told, whether that be an individual, whether that be a company, whether that be a brand. When we think about voice and we think about the role that it plays in storytelling, it just obviously makes content and experiences more engaging and clearer and obviously more accessible as well. So just a lot of exciting things that can happen.
Okay, Matt, let's switch to you. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
Yeah, heads down in a startup for the last 6 years. I surround myself with pretty amazing people, and I think that I'm not one to read every single, you know, startup book that's out there and try and take my tips and tricks from other sort of startup CEOs telling their success stories. A lot of the time, I still do read them, but I think I'm inspired most by my team. We had a pretty impossible task training a deep learning model to not only speak like someone, but speak at human parity and be able to say any word imaginable with all of these different characters in any language and put that technology in the hands of people so that they could literally create voiceover with a click of a button. It's a pretty audacious goal. And then you see the team rally around that and you see the team execute and you start to see the wins coming and the resilience that everyone shows. It's just something that makes you want to get out of bed every morning and just be inspired by the wins that the team's been getting and how we've banded together and what we've created so far. So I'd probably just say that my team is the group of folks that inspire me for various different reasons.
So we talked about a mistake earlier. This is a little different spin. If you could go back to the beginning, what would you do different? Or where would you consider taking a different approach? It doesn't have to be a mistake. Could have been something that worked and even worked well. But maybe you tweak it a little bit.
I think that the thing that we got right and the thing that we continue to get right is our stance on ensuring that our technology and our practices are ethically inclined and the fact that we've built trust with our customers very early. There's a lot of instances out there where newer players may be building with off-the-shelf technology and maybe rushing into this space and creating things in it with, to a certain extent, reckless abandon and just trying to, again, amass users, play the typical startup game to a certain extent. But I really feel as though the areas that we did double down on in terms of trust and safety and ensuring that the way that we were treating our voice actors and partnering with voice talent, as opposed to essentially trying to just take any type of data off the internet and train models on it, was the right thing to do. And it's something that I would do again.
Matt, last question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit multiple times?
Stay resilient. Don't give up. It's as simple as it would be. There's a lot of times throughout a startup journey where you feel like you should quit. The hill's too steep. The road's too long. Things aren't happening as fast as possible, as fast as you would like them to, or externally outside of the building. You're hearing noise from it could be a competitor, or it could be the industry or something else. But as long as you're staying true to your vision and staying true to what your customers are really screaming out for and asking for, the main thing is just to stay in the game and continue through the proverbial roadblocks that will inevitably come your way.
That's fantastic advice. Couldn't agree more. Well, Matt, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Well Said Labs.
Thanks, Noah.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.